It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. The last time the award-winning Canadian rock band The Trues were in Milwaukee, a couple of years ago, it was January and there was a blizzard. Well, it didn't stop them from playing in our studio then, but we were happy that on this visit the weather was nicer. They arrived on the first day of Summerfest to play at the big gig for the first time. They also arrived with a brand new album, the eponymously named The Trues. The Trues are a big deal in Canada and Europe. They've gotten all kinds of gold records and won any number of awards. But the U.S. market has proved much tougher to crack, despite a great many dedicated fans on this side of the border. So landing a Summerfest slot was a big deal. So before their sound check at the Henry Meyer Festival Park, the Trues stopped by the Lake Effect studio to chat and to play some tunes from the new album, starting with an acoustic version of The Age of Miracles. The Age of Miracles, The Trues in Lake Effect's Performance Studio. Gentlemen, welcome back. It is so great to hear and see you again.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Thanks for having us.
And this is from the new album, The Trues, self-titled. And you know, I really, really like the album. And this one feels kind of introspective a little to me. Like you guys were doing a lot of thinking between the last couple of albums. I think the last time you were here, it was Hope and Ruin you were touring.
Yeah, Hope and Ruin.
We didn't think a lot making that record.
Yeah. We drank a lot making that record.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think, I don't really know. It's like, it's all kind of in hindsight. It's like when the record's done, you're kind of like, oh, it seems like an introspective album or not so much. I don't really, there's never that much planning that goes into it. It's just like whatever songs are sticking on the wall, you know, you're trying to write every day and the ones that come out the best tunes are the ones that stay. And sometimes they have a theme between them that you're not even aware of at the time, you know?
And there it is, yeah. Because I can really, in a lot of the different ones, there's a lot of, like, life changes and things happening and either falling in or out of love or death or, you know, change, moving on, that kind of stuff. And it seems like it's kind of through the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's probably a lot of existential angst from constant travel. But you know, I think it's, we don't ever really try that hard with that kind of stuff. I mean, every time we go in to try to do that, it never works out anyway. You know, we're kind of like, oh, let's go make a real rock and roll album. And it's just you end up singing what you're feeling. And sometimes that's out of your control, you know.
So. Well, lest Trues fans tremble a little bit if they haven't heard it yet. You rock pretty hard on this, too. I mean, there's definitely, it's you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's a good mix. I think that the producer that we enlisted this time around, a fellow by the name of Gavin Brown, he's been well aware of our band for over a decade. You know, he's a Canadian producer and he's aware of everything we've gone through stylistically, and he's seen us play acoustic and he's seen us rock really hard electric. And I think he really wanted to sort of bring both to the forefront and represent them both in a nice way. There's two songs on the album that don't even have drums at all. And then the heavy rock and stuff is probably as heavy as we've gotten.
You talk about stylistic changes, and I think there was some interview, and I think, John Angus, it was you who said this, that even though you like to keep a consistent sound, you know, you have to change. You have to evolve in order to keep it interesting for yourselves as well as for an audience.
Yeah, well, change is life, or life is change, or, you know, it's like you mentioned all the things that you go through, like, since the last record, like, there's like three kids of the band have been born, and, you know, death has happened, you know, and love has happened, and you know, all those things happen in life to everybody, and so there's no way to keep it out of your music, you know.
And why would you want to keep it out of your music?
Yeah, I don't think it makes much sense to.
But do you see, you know, as you're going forward musically, more of the same? Because I love the fact that this album represents, as you were saying, both sides of you, the hard, hard rock side and that wonderful acoustic side, because not every band can do that.
Well, we were talking about that the other night, just about how, like, everything's so niche-oriented in the world right now, where, like, you either have to be, like, this crazy metal heavy band or you have to be this, like, folk throwback thing. And I think it's just kind of silly. I think that bands should be able to be diverse and explore different parts of their sound, no matter how many bands are out there. It's just do it really well, you know, and not to sound jaded, but it's just, I just don't like the way music's becoming so niche right now. It's like, whatever happened to albums like Led Zeppelin 3, where it's like Immigrant Song and then Tangerine. It's like, that's on the same album by the same band, and it's amazing. It doesn't suck. It's not like, you don't turn on that record and go like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, it was so heavy and then it got soft. I hate it. It's like you go on and you're like, no, it's a whole thing. It's amazing. And bands just aren't doing that anymore. Maybe because there's just so many bands, or I don't know what it is, but I like diversity on an album. And the way we keep it within the wheelhouse is I sing all the lead vocals on all the songs. So it's always going to sound like that. He plays all the lead guitars. It's like we're not switching instruments and there's not 19 people in the band. It's still the same four guys. So I think it's really cool to be diverse on a record. I think it's offers more to the listener, you know.
I agree. And then, not to leave Jack out of it too, but that melodic bass that just kind of like underpins everything, you know. It was so nice to hear that on the first song of the album.
Jack is the lead player in the band. Yeah. I just pretend to be the lead player.
He's the color of the music.
Yeah, and so it's so great to hear that to me is really part of your sound too.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's one thing that's really cool about Gavin is like, he kind of recognized all of that about the band. He's like, you know, like, in order to record our band properly, you got to let kind of Jack do his thing musically with the bass, because it's not going to be your standard bass lines. You can't go and quantize them and put them on the grid and make them all like quarter notes. They have to, it's kind of like it's a color, you know? And he recognized that right away because he's a really talented, smart producer, and he kind of let us record like that. So what's cool about this album is it's done like a modern rock album, but he left the elements of what we do live. We recorded everything live, and then we, you know, we touched it up afterwards, which kind of kept it truesy enough and still modern and cool, you know.
And fresh.
And fresh.
I didn't realize you had done it live, because you can, that's what that little edge is, that difference, because it sounds really spontaneous on the album.
Well, I think the bed tracks were done in 2.5 days. Like we set out to make the record. We had all this time held, like 6 or 7 weeks at this really expensive studio in downtown Toronto. And 2.5 days in, we're like, okay, well, the drummer can go home. And so it was like we clipped along really quickly. But I think that was a function of we had done our homework as a band. Like the songwriting part was like, that was done and put to bed, which was great. It was a great relief, because then you could just focus on having fun and making the record sound spontaneous and, you know, have fun elements. When you're still trying to write while recording, I think that's hell. It's Kafkaesque.
Yes. Yes.
Kafkaesque. You've been waiting to say that.
I just
all
learned
day.
That. I just learned that today, so I'm going to say it.
That's perfect. Well, it's a good description. A good description of what it must be like. So, speaking of the album, let's hear something else from it. What are you going to play and tell us about it a little bit?
This is, I think, probably the first song we wrote for the record. It's a song called Permanent Love. And I recently read somewhere that a church out in Alberta was using it as in their prayer service, but it wasn't meant to be a spiritual. So, you know, whatever, float your boat. But this song's called Permanent Love.
Got away impossible to find the permanent love. Promises tonight, New York City lights. Morning comes to light, it's out of my sight.
The Trues in Lake Effect's performance studio with Permanent Love off their brand new album, also called The Trues. And gentlemen, you've been together now, it's almost 20 years now, right? 1997?
Well, oh yeah, God. I mean, we started, yeah.
Kind of in high school?
It was like, yeah.
Oh, I was six.
Yeah. We played in cover bands trying to get it together in a very small town for a very long time. And then we, you know, as a touring band recording original material, it's been just about a decade. I mean, we started playing when, you know, Jack didn't even know what a bass was. We just said he had to play it. And he was the youngest guy, so he got stuck with it. You know, we spent a lot of years doing that. I mean, like, I always think, like, yeah, we've known each other that long. And, you know, it wasn't really real, though. We were all in school and doing, like, one gig, you know, every few months at, like, some hall in town. But, you know, as a touring professional band, it's been since about 2001.
Well, in that time, though, you've a huge international fan base. You know, you've got really rabid fans, which are great. I mean, people are really dedicated. Yeah. Do you feel successful? Do you feel like you've achieved something?
I think that if, you know, that's a hard thing to quantify, because if you had told us when we were starting out 15 years old or 16 years old that, you know, we'd have gold records and number one singles and number one debuting albums and fans that follow us around, like fans that have literally flown to England to see us, you know, like we probably would have said that's success. And I think that would make me happy. But as those things trickle in, you just readjust and recalibrate your definition. And then all of a sudden you want something else. You want to try for something else. And, you know, I think that's the human condition or whatever that keeps people thinking that way. But So, yeah, there's certain elements that we're very grateful for. But there's lots we've yet to achieve that we keep our eye on that stuff.
Like what?
Like breaking this country.
Breaking this country.
It's been a slow grind in the States. I mean, we have certain markets that are amongst our best markets ever, like Buffalo and Watertown, New York and Rochester. Like, people are just great fans, the people that are really familiar with our material because of the bleed from Canadian radio. But we haven't had that radio success down here. And I think that, you know, so we're still a very much a foreign entity to so many people. So it's been a struggle in a lot of other places down here. That's on the to-do list, for sure.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
But this new album you did differently, though. Didn't you crowdfund this one?
Pledge,
yeah. And how did that work?
We were in between record deals, and the idea came up early in 2013. And we were kind of on the fence about it. And we met with the head of Pledge, Benji Rogers, who's turned out to be a really, really cool guy, a true believer, a good rock and roll guy, like really believed in music and believed in the fans and kind of sold it to us as the ultimate fan club experience. And we thought it'd be kind of an interesting risk to take. I mean, it could have gone either way. You know, people could have said, no way, we're not doing that. And it was overwhelmingly successful. And, you know, we had a lot of fun and got to make a record, and fans even got to sing on the records. There's like five or six tracks on the album with fans singing gang vocals because they pledged on coming into the studio to sing with us. You know, we did Skype conversations and we We did house concerts. You know, it was all positive because everybody that pledged was a super fan and a really cool person. So we, you know, we certainly felt grateful for them, you know, helping us make an album, and everything's been a lot of fun.
Well, there's a song towards the end of the album. I think it's the next to the last song, the Living the Dream.
Yeah.
And one of the lyrics says, it's lonely living the dream, even when it's going your way. So do you feel like you're living the dream? And is it worth all the sacrifices that you've made to do it?
I think that song was like, that song's pretty drenched in irony. I co-wrote the words with my buddy Gordy, and we always like to make it kind of funny and tongue-in-cheek.
And I think the lyric was like
lonely living in a dream.
Yeah. And it was about like somebody who's kind of walking around lost in thought all the time.
Yeah.
And what Gordy likes to do when we co-write with him is just to put a tiny twist on it that makes it something totally different. Like it's a different statement to say it's lonely living the dream. You know, it's a completely different statement. So we kind of followed his little twist and made the rest of the lyrics about that.
Well, it's great.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, I guess it's one of those things where like, you know, you can never really be totally happy, you know, I guess in the material world, you know, sort of the underlying message, you know, you can have it all, but, you know, Tom York doesn't seem like the happiest guy on earth or, you know, as an example, you know, but like, you know, I think that was where we were going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Or it's just kind of like, you know, being in a band and having those nights where you're like, oh, cool. I like to rock, but this sucks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the deal. I think a lot of people, you know, they think of the rock and roll life and they only think of the positive sides of it. There's the part where, like, you were sick and you have to go on anyway, or you have to cancel a concert and you have to deal with the fallout of that, or you know, something happens and, you know, well, just like today, you didn't get the right information to come here, you know, and that kind of stuff is happening all the time, and it wears on you, and you're away from home.
When it's fun... What is it?
When it's good, it's fun. And when it's bad, it's funny. I saw that from a movie. It was the singer for the Dandy Warhols. And it's not a band I don't really listen to, but I thought his line about the music industry was good. When it's good, it's fun. And when it's bad, it's funny. So we try to laugh a lot. And you know, you are out playing music. I mean, we're not out like... You got to kind of keep that in perspective, you know. You can't be too melodramatic about it, or else
you're not digging dishes.
Or you're, exactly.
You're not cleaning porta potties.
You're not cleaning porta potties, which I think they probably need to do at that whole music festival.
They probably do.
But you know, I guess if you get too dramatic about it, it really drifts into Spinal Tap pretty quick. So you got to kind of, you got to have a really good sense of humor about it, and feel grateful because you are getting to play music. I mean, no matter how, you know, no matter how many people are that in the club. No matter how long it took you that day, I mean, if you're in good shape and your voice is working, you know, you can blow off a lot of steam up there screaming your lungs out. And a lot of people don't get to do that. Like, the dudes out working on the overpasses on the highway don't have an outlet. I would encourage them to pick up a guitar at the end of the day and just...
Wail,
because it feels good, you know? It gets a lot of angst out, you know? So, I mean, we're lucky that we have that release, for sure.
Well, don't do a Spinal Tap because we don't want Sean to blow up.
Yeah. That would be, yeah.
That would just
great,
be...
Great look. Great camera.
Great job. Good look.
Yeah.
Stumpy.
Good look.
Yeah, that's right.
Great tall geek with glasses.
Yeah. That's right. Right. So, well, what are you going to play us out with?
This is going to require a little tune-up, so we'll do a little break after we set it up. But it's a song called In the Morning, which is like a folk-leaning song, kind of like a Fleetwood Mac type of ballad. And it features a vocal performance by Serena Ryder, who's a fellow Canuck who came by the studio and sang on it and really did a great job, but she's not here. So Colin's going to sing verse two.
Okay, you're going to do both.
He's going to do both verses.
I'll just sing it. Like, she's really great. She did a great job.
It's a wonderful...
She's a big star up in, I think everywhere, and she's just busy, so she couldn't come on this tour, to play.
But the two, your voices work together really, really well.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah. So
she knocked it out like in one, like I think two takes. It was
there
really
you go.
Cool. Yeah.
So, well, before, as we get to tune up, I want to say the truth. Thank you so much for taking time before your Summerfest gig to come in.
Yeah.
Welcome to Summerfest.
Thanks.
It's great to have you back in Milwaukee, and please stop by the next time you're in town.
Yeah, thank you for supporting us. We appreciate it. All right. Want to count it in, Janangus?
Sure. One, two, three, four.
We have to keep believing it's gonna be okay, 'cause 'Cause if we don't, we're lost. Maybe we're lost anyway.
The Canadian band The Trues performing an acoustic version of In the Morning in Lake Effect Studio C1. The Trues are brothers Colin and John Angus McDonald, Jack Siperick, and Sean Dalton. The band was in Milwaukee last month to play at Summerfest, and they stopped by the studio then. You can hear the full versions of all three songs that they played for us, Age of Miracles, Permanent Love, and In the Morning, on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks again, as always, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to having you join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Fresh Air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock.
I want to get too close. I want to be right there. It might all mean nothing, but I think that we're getting somewhere. You pushed everyone away.